with Jake Berkowitz before the Iditarod race start. In Koyuk last year, you pulled up, and in the position you were and the way your dogs were looking, everyone was thinking that you could have been in first position coming into Nome last year. You've got to be feeling pretty good. And talk about what you're expecting out of your team this year.
Yeah, I think we're definitely feeling good for this year's Iditarod. They're an older group of dogs. I definitely had a fair amount of two-year-olds on the team last year where I didn't have the race in the bag. You know, there's definitely a lot of other good competition at Koyuk, and I would have had to sacrifice the future of those dogs, meaning not getting them to Nome. They would have been just fine, but I would have probably had to drop all of them, you know, in a long shot of winning at that point because I was in the chase mode. So I made, you know, a calculated risk versus a reward situation, and, you know, I went after that humanitarian award and staying in the top 10, and, you know, we accomplished those goals. You know, there's been a lot of talk in people's top 10 lists about us not having the chance to win because we don't take bold moves, mostly because of what you were talking about in Koyuk with me not going after the win. And, you know, there's calculated risk to everything, and we're here to win the race, but I'm never going to sacrifice my dog team to win the race.
And you're also known, I just heard you chatting with Mitch, and you're known for keeping your team in good health, obviously winning the humanitarian award last year, doing races and keeping all of your dogs in great condition all the way to the finish line. Talk about the importance of that for you.
And there's nothing more important than keeping your dog team together. I think especially in this race here, you're going to see a lot of people get down in dog numbers early, and you know, as the track record shows, we're still going to have a big team halfway through the race, which is going to be really important in a race like this year. I can tell you I finished the Iditarod with 16 dogs. I finished with 15 and got the humanitarian award. This year, we're going for the win. So if I need to drop some dogs on the coast to be faster, we're going to drop dogs on the coast to go for the win. So, you know, we're going to bring a big team to the coast, and then we'll go for speed from there on out.
Now, it sounds like your dogs are older and more mature, and talk about who's kind of a star right now, who's really just impressing you, and who's your go-to dog when it comes to times when you will need to push on the coast.
Yeah, you know, this year I kind of changed up my game plan with my leaders. I picked my six best, my six main veteran leaders, and those are the only dogs I ran the entire season. So I got a bunch of three-year-olds that are good leaders that will run if I need them to, but I really was focusing on those six. They ran every run rotating in lead. I'm really going to lean on some of the dogs that have really proved themselves this year are Leno, a Solomon kid, and Mullet. Those are two boys. And then a dog named Hopper, which really proved herself last year on the coast. But we got six good ones. We got dogs like everybody knows, like Pixie, and they're all in there. But I have a feeling you're going to see kind of Leno, Mullet, and Hopper rotating on the coast. And they're both 5 and 6 years old, so they kind of know the routine, and now all these dogs, that was kind of my goal last year, everybody in my team has been to Nome in a competitive schedule, so I think we hit close to Nome and they're going to put it in overdrive.
Yeah. Now talk about trail conditions. It sounds like they've done a ton of work in the range the first few hundred miles of the race. There's a ton of work that's been done on the trail, and it sounds like it's going to be pretty rough.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a rough trail. You know, every year people talk about the advantages of being Mitch or Dallas or Jeff being, you know, 120 pounds. I don't necessarily see that being an advantage this year. I think being, you know, bigger and being able to stop your dog team on a dime if you need to is definitely going to play a role. This being also a hard, fast year, I think weight is less of an issue. That being said, if we get on dirt, you know, and tussocks coming into Nome, it's definitely going to be better to be lighter. Okay. You know, there's a lot of drag when it comes to that. But yeah, it's going to be a rough trail, and it's going to be who can suck it up. Who can suck it up and hang on and tough it out.
And talk about your training so far. It sounds like you did pretty well because you were able to travel that highway and get to snow, and so your dogs must be looking pretty good at this point.
Yeah, I think we've had three really successful Iditarods in a row, even including the one where I cut my hand and got withdrawn. We pulled into Unalakleet in fifth with 14 dogs, so I'll consider that one a success as well. And all 3 years, we haven't let the weather dictate our running. This year, the same way, we never missed a day of training because of weather conditions. We just traveled. I've been on the go, you know, from October 1st until now, we've been traveling. Those dogs know that trailer real well. And we did a lot of extra back and forth trips to the Denali Highway or over to towards Eureka, just to get the dogs back home on their days off so that they were able to run around their circles and be out of the trailer and that type of stuff. So I think our gas bill is definitely hurting, but our dog team's better for it. So, you know, you'll hear a lot of people talk about not being miled up or this or that, and, you know, we're ready to race. Yeah. There's nothing, our race plan has not changed because of the bad training year.
Now talk about the buzz of this year's Iditarod. Obviously the Norwegians are here. There's four of them, two very, very competitive, three really, really competitive Norwegians in the race right now. Robert kind of changed the race when he came and was very successful in the way he ran his dogs in a different style, a different way, slowing and marching. And talk about kind of the buzz this year. What's kind of the chatter between the mushers? What are people thinking about heading into this race?
You know, people always say Sorley's a game changer, and obviously he is. He's got a 50% record of winning this race. He's going to have to come with a different game plan than he has come before to be another game changer. That being said, I think he's got a dog team to win the race. Obviously, he's got a dog team to win the race, but we also know how he runs now. So maybe he's coming with something else, but we have seen how he runs and how he wins. That being said, you can look at somebody and know exactly what they're going to do, and they'll still beat the pants off you. But we got good dog teams now. We got dog teams that can march at a faster rate, and I'm sure he does too. So the chatter is that we got one more guy that's going to be racing to win the race. If you look at last year's top 10, you can't count any of them out. So now you got Sorley coming in, so obviously he's knocking one of us out. So you just got to play it as it goes. I'm not here racing against any other dog team. I'm here racing to get to know him as fast as possible with my dog team. So if me and him are racing head-to-head to Nome, from Unalakleet to Nome, I'm going to run to Nome as fast as possible. And I'm going to run to Nome as fast as possible with my dog team. There's nothing I can do. I can't will a win. So we're going to take it as it comes and definitely give respect to where respect's due. And he's here to win the race.
Well, thanks.
Thank you.